Blog Talk Radio.
Aplaudindo Jota.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to God's House of Prayer here tonight. We want to know, holy and worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb of God. We want to bless the Lord on tonight, the honored guest, Jesus Christ, for being here. We want to worship him on tonight. We want to not be the same as we came in. And there's one of my wife's songs and one of her favorite people that she loves, and it's Carrie Job, and we're going to play this song, All I Need Is You.
All I need is you. All I need is you.
Hallelujah. All we need is the Lord on tonight. Now I'm going to turn over the broadcast for the moment into Bishop Dennis's hands to welcome the people. Thank you all for being here on tonight. Bless you and pray for those that are still on their way.
Grace and mercy to all. Welcome to God's house of prayer, where the true worshipers of God come to seek His truth. God's grace and blessings be multiplied by your faith according to God's grace. May His angels be your shield and your comfort. Are the mics open? Okay, I guess he's off. If anybody can hear me, if you'd like to try to say something or ask for a prayer or to give a prayer.
Hello.
Nick. Yes. Leslie?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to say anything?
Pray for horses. All I can think of is that God's love. That is one of my favorite songs. Really, all we need is God. We need each other too, but if we're alone and, you know, feeling lonely and down and, you know, just depressed, nothing in this world can satisfy. Even going to the highest mountain, like Pastor David said, our old pastor, he said, all the wonders in the world, once you see it, it's like, oh, okay. People keep saying, oh, we got to go see this. We got to go see that. But you know what? It's just man-made. Well, most of it's man-made. The mountains aren't. I know that. But, you know, I always wanted to be, I like to explore things and, you know, like, I would be one to go in a cave and look for a pearl, you know, or, you know, if anyone else wouldn't, I would go down to get the biggest, beautiful fish. You know, I would swim with a sea lion, swim with a dolphin. But you know what? That's all, you know, would be awesome experience. But, you know, all we need is the Lord. And we all think we need each other. Like, oh, I need you to live. Or I live for my son. Or I live for my daughter. Or I live for my job. Or I live to see the next big, whoever's going to be the next president. You know, no. It's, every moment is not given. It's not a choice. You know, we don't have a choice to wake up. You know, it's the Lord that wakes us up every moment. That we think it's us. Oh, the alarm woke us up. But you know what? I am very adventurous. Me and Nick are. We want to travel and see this place and see that place. You know, I want to go to New Orleans and meet the lady that does pit bulls and parolees. And you know what? You could have a lot of ministry down there in the South. I think that's the South. Yeah, it is. Just to be an adventurer, but you know what? I think about people who are blind, who will never see anything, except for when, if they're saved, they go to heaven, and that'll be the first thing they see, is Jesus. You know, Nick is talking about this new adventure job, and you know, and I thought, you know, that would be awesome to go and do all this and travel and be with each other and be in different hotels, different parts of the world, or cities, or states, whatever. But you know what? You can see it all on TV. He wants to do it, that's up to God, and, you know, whatever God decides for that. But, sorry, Paul is being a ruckus runt. But I wanted to just say that because, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I need to work so I can make the most money and be the number one new person in my business. But you know what? I don't want to miss out on my son saying stuff. You know, Nick said, you know, he stays home with them, and he's been telling me things that Paul does, and he's starting to become more independent and starting to do things like go play by himself and doesn't have that much of a turmoil with it, just goes off and plays by himself. And, you know, and I don't want to miss out on that. So, you know, traveling with him would be cool and seeing different places and, you know, being adventurous, you know, is cool because that's me. That's all about what I do. You know, I love to do that stuff. But, you know what? That's all good and dandy and beautiful. So like Pastor Davis said, it didn't make a hill of beans a difference to go see the Grand Canyon if you don't make it to heaven. You know, I mean, the Grand Canyon is beautiful. My grandma was there several times. I was in Colorado. I was in at Pelican Lake, wherever city that's in. But it didn't make a difference to me. You know? So that's all I wanted to say is, all we need is God, Lord Jesus, and, you know, we need this adventure to maybe go help somebody or be there for somebody if someone needs to have a hand to hold. But you know what really happened to me? My old client, I happened to be working for her mother. It's just so, I knew it had to be God doing it because it's just like, I took care of her and her husband, and now I'm taking care of her husband. Is everyone with me? Talking to myself. Hello?
We can hear you.
Okay, because no one's, okay. So anyways, to make a long story short, I went there because her mom is like down the street from where she lives. And I went to go visit her because I haven't seen her for quite some years. And so she was going back and forth to get her mother's stuff from Michigan because now she's in Heartland and can't really – well, she lives in Heartland. So I went to visit her one day before I came home. And I don't know why I was going there because I know she's so busy. But we talked for a little bit. And all of a sudden, I felt led to pray for her because she's got cancer, and she was in remission for, like, oh, wow, 6 years. And, well, it somehow is back in her groin area, and she's really having a lot of difficulty with it, and she's got to take radiation and stuff like that. So she was telling me all this stuff, and, you know, and I thought she was doing really good because she was in remission, you know, the years that I'd known her. But she said another cell happened or another outbreak, whatever. And I said, well, you know what? She's kind of a person that she's a really good person with health and fitness and, you know, really on target with that. Just knows everything about health and wellness and wholeness and all that. And, you know, and she's really, like, inspirational in that way, okay? So I said, Linda, do you want me to pray for you? And she at first was like, huh? And then she goes, okay, yeah, you can pray for me. So I'm standing out there in front of her 1,800-year-old house, because that's where she lives, in a homestead. You know, it's so cool. It was like one of the houses from the war. And it's so cool in there. It's really so cool in her house, and she's got it all cool, and you know, the all original, everything in there. And so anyways, we're standing out there in front of her 1800-year-old house, and I just felt led to pray. And I asked her if I could grab her hands, and she goes, okay. And so I just started praying and asking the Lord to use me. And I prayed for at least 10 minutes. I mean, I was like, and I could feel her shaking. I didn't know if it was from the Holy Spirit or what, but I could feel her shaking. So I was kind of feeling rushed. So I said, no, that's not what I need to do. Well, so I prayed for her, and then we both had to take our separate ways because they were going somewhere and I had to go somewhere. And so yesterday I saw her because I take care of her mom on Friday, giving her a shower. Her mom is 90 plus years old, and so she has difficulty in the shower. So I gave her a shower, and Linda was there because she comes to, you know, check on her, you know, because, well, it's her mother. And so she invited me over for dinner. And so that's why I didn't get home till real late last night, like, seriously. And so we had all bunch of healthy food, and we were talking. And then before I left, because Nick wanted me to come home, she was kept calling me and wanted me to come home. So, but before I left, she says, you know, Leslie, that prayer really, really changed me. And she goes, even her husband said to her, there was something off, there was something different. And she seemed to have a little pep in her step, and wasn't so wore out. It wasn't so, like, depressed feeling. And she said she could feel the energy because I prayed that God would give her energy that she knew not of. Because she's, you know, cancer and radiation can really, really wipe you out. And she's very fatigued from that. And she's in her 60s, you know, she's in her late 60s, so, you know, and she's always moving around, very healthy. So before I had to keep up with her, believe it or not. I had to ask her to slow down. You know, so, you know, she's very healthy and fit-minded. And, you know, so and that's what life, you don't know who you're supposed to pray for. So if we do go on this adventure or whatever, Nick takes this job, you know, you don't know who God brings into your path. You don't know. That's why you can't ever say, well, I'm too tired. I don't want to go, you know. And you never know what blessing you have or what God has for somebody else. And that's what I find is, you know, these older people are just crying out. And most of them are saved. The people I take care of, they all pray before they eat. I mean, it's just awesome. The one lady wants me to read the Bible to her. I read, because she can't really see it. So I take a magnifying glass and I let her read it that way. And that really, she likes to read it for herself. And so we're studying right now. She likes Revelation. So we're reading Revelation right now. So she's, you know, sharing her 2 cents with me or what the Lord shows her. And she is, her name is Mary Ann, and she is 98 years old. And so she prays, and, you know, she talks about God the whole time when she doesn't fall asleep. You know, but I think being there has really perked her up because she has already said to me, oh, I love you. Oh, when are you coming back? You know, and telling me I'm an angel from the Lord and, you know, stuff like that. So I really, really appreciate this job and these people. You know, I never would have met if I wouldn't have gotten this job. And thank God Nick did my resume, you know, because it really helped me get all these different positions. He's really talented in that. So, because I don't know a lick about computers. He always got to send everything for me. And so eventually he's going to have to teach me how to do it, you know. But anyways, so that's You know, we never know what God has in store. And these people in this office, they all love me. You know, they're all like, we really think that you'll work good with these people. And they, you know, and a lot of them have the same heart as me. You know, so it was really a God divine job given appointment. You know, and it's really a lot better, you know, and what my skills are. You know, I'm not just cleaning out a litter box. Not that that's you know, anything that I take for granted, because a job is a job. Wherever you gotta do what they ask you to do, you know. But, you know, I have different things, you know. God has different things in store. So I don't know what this all means, but that song really made me think of all this stuff. I didn't know Nick was gonna play it, but it is my favorite song, among other ones. And so I just appreciate having the ability to move around.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent here, as my mom would say. But,
it's all good.
But sorry, this kid is so strong. He's like an ox. So I'm trying to keep my focus here. So, you know, no matter what we go through, you know, I'm taking care of these 90-plus-year-old people, and they are, you know, they're so inspirational. You know, just hearing their stories, and, you know, they're when they were, one lady I took care of, she was married for 65 years, you know, and the same man for 65 years, because she said that's what the Lord said, you know, because she was supposed to marry and be married to one person. And she's 90 now, and that's Linda's mother. And it was so nice to just sit there and, you know, relax and eat some good fish. And, you know, we have to be healthy. We have to make good decisions. We have to, you know, talk to ourselves and say, is this a need or a want? You know, like I was telling Nick, I want a new ring. You know, I want a new ring. Well, I just realized just now that I said, I want. You know, it's not I need. I said, I want. I want a new ring. I want, you know, because my ring, I had to get it cut off because it was swelling my finger up. So I wanted to get a new one because it gets stuck on everything. But that's what we have to ask ourselves, is do we need this cheesecake? Do we need this salad? Which is better, you know, for our health and well-being? Because it says in the Word you're supposed to keep your temple clean from sin and stuff, but from food indulgence too. You know, you're supposed to keep it clean and fresh, and, you know, because, you know, it's like, I wouldn't want to live in a dirty tent, would you? Or, you know, if you were camping, I would make someone take their shoes off before they get in my tent or come in my house, you know, if it was, you know, I could think of that thing, like Jesus thinks of us as the temple. So some people don't like me having my shoes on in their house, the people I take care of. You know, they don't like shoes on. They, you know, they think it's a disgrace to have shoes on. So, you know, there's customs and things that I guess I'm getting into. But the Lord does say that we need to protect our temple, and, you know, where the Lord resides. And, you know, he can't live in an unclean temple. Lord, would he want to? So I guess that, you know, that comes with every different category in life, you know. So anyway, so that's a really good, you know, when we're by ourselves, we have nobody around. You know, that's a really good thing. I leave early to go to work, And I sit there and I in the car, well, I'm always early. I come up when the sun comes up, you know, get up, and it's so beautiful and peaceful. And I'm sitting there watching the sun rise, you know, listening to a pastor or scripture or a song on the radio, or even in getting my Bible out and start reading it, you know, when I'm sitting there for that period before I have to go in and wake her up, you know. And it's you know, it's very important to have that quiet time with God, with your family, with yourself, or with other friends and family, you know, fellowshipping, because we are very, you know, we're kind of people like that. So, anyway, so I'm done. I'm done writing the book. But that was just my little take on this song, and I never thought about it that way before, but it just all of a sudden hit me, and, you know, so yeah, that's it.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. That was a beautiful story. We have a lady that's on her way here for a little bit later in the service when she gets here. She's got a powerful testimony. I just met her on Facebook the other night, and a young woman that really loves the Lord and has really seen some things. And I won't go into detail because I want her to be able to share that. So without further ado, we're actually going to go into the Word of God tonight. And for that, we're going to have Apostle Lionel pray us into the Word and announce Bishop Dennis, the speaker for the night.
Amen. Our most gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you with bowed heads and humble hearts, Heavenly Father, knowing that you are Lord and Lord all by yourself. Heavenly Father, the words that we have heard tonight is a light. And we see that your light is shining, Heavenly Father. We know, Heavenly Father, you said in your word that honor thy mother and thy father and you will live a long and prosperous life. It doesn't mean just your biological mother and your biological father. It means every mother and every father. And that's so what's so great, Heavenly Father, about being a child of God. And I'm just grateful to hear people speak about how they love to help someone. And I know for a true fact, Heavenly Father, that the words that Leslie was speaking tonight are true, because I do the same thing a lot of times. I love to go and sit down and listen, because that's how I learn. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to keep hearing these testimonies.
Mm.
Most people always talk about putting their mother and their father in a nursing home or something, and then things go wrong. That's not the way I feel about that. I'm just grateful to be around the people that's 80 and 90 years old, because I love to talk to them, because they can all the time tell me something. And for the things that you are doing in our life and in our ministry, Heavenly Father, and the people that in my life today, I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. And I'm praying, Heavenly Father, each and every day, that you keep on blessing us. You keep on holding us up. Keep your loving arms wrapped around us and keep this word going, because your word is the only thing that we know is true, and it's reality, and it is happening. And we want you, Heavenly Father, to keep on blessing us. The words that we hear, we know that they are coming from you. The ministers, apostles, and bishops that are on this line. To me, I can speak for myself. They are great to me. And I love them all. of Heavenly Father. That's what you said to my life, and I acknowledge that. And not just today, Heavenly Father, but every day, Heavenly Father. We need to listen, and that's how you learn. Because that devil is working overtime to hurt us, Heavenly Father. As long as we got your son Jesus in a way to look up and cross our hands or fall down on our knees and say, Father, help me. You are there. So, Heavenly Father, as we go ahead on and the bishop bring this earth night, Heavenly Father, let him go in your way as he always does. And we're going to keep on praising your name, calling on you for everything. In Jesus, I pray, amen.
Greetings all. Thank you for the prayer, Brother Lionel.
Amen.
Thanks, Sister Leslie, for her testimony.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, tonight I want to just kind of lay it out there for you tonight. God's been sending out revelations for a while now to his shepherds across the world. And it's time to wake up, time to get ready, time to get out into business because the time is short.
Amen.
And only he knows how much time that is. But he is seeking specific people. He is seeking a certain type of person to build his true house and his true sanctuary. We're not talking about a physical building that man calls a church. And we've got multitudes of those in today's world. And very few of them are even close to being what God calls his house. But God is seeking his true worshipers, as Jesus called them, to build his true house and sanctuary. That is the spiritual and physical body of Christ. That is the assembly of his children, united and serving his will by serving one another. Well, let's take time and let's look at God's word and what he says to us. No matter when he wrote that word, they are just as true today as the day they were written. And they're speaking about the same kind of problems now that were then, because we keep making the same mistakes. For his house and his sanctuary is for all of us who are born again of the faith of an obedience to his will. So we're not building some monument to God to proclaim his glory in a physical world that is going to pass away in time. We're building his house and sanctuary by his will for us. For that house and sanctuary is a spiritual house that is capable of housing not only the physical, but the spiritual. And being able to house the spiritual means it's eternal. It will never fade away. It will never be torn down. And why do we need to build this physical house that is a spiritual house?
because the time of the tribulation is coming. And we don't know exactly when God's going to unleash it. But he's calling the ones Jesus called his true worshipers to build this house for his children. So they have both a physical and a spiritual place to go when the tribulation comes. Let's listen to God's words, John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming and is now, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. What is worshiping in spirit and truth? That's worshiping God through his word. And what is the word of God? It's the living word of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And this is who God is seeking. He's not looking for people to follow him or to just be Christ's followers. He's looking for those who seek to worship him through his words, through the Holy Spirit of Jesus. By worship, it means those who are willing to walk the spiritual walk and be the living example of Christ in the world. And he is waiting for us to come forth, unite as the spiritual and the physical body of Christ, build his house so we can serve him and one another. For his plan of love is built on the fellowship of the brotherhood. To come together, united, to serve one another, to help carry each other's burdens, and not become a burden to each other. A lot of people say, well, okay, we got the churches out there. Those are God's house of prayer. Those are his sanctuaries. If you believe that, listen to this. Hey, guys, chapter 1, verses 2-11. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. When the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Let us ask ourselves if this doesn't sound awful familiar as to the way it is today. We build churches, call them his house of prayer. Yeah, but does anybody really care for them? Do they really make his house the most important house that they have? Are we not more concerned with our own house? Yet the churches that are out there are meager shells of what God calls for. They're simple brick monuments of man's ego. Because God is spirit and he's seeking those who worship in the spirit and the truth. And thus he wants a spiritual house for a spiritual body of Christ that can then unite in the spirit, become the physical body of Christ, and then make his presence known in the world. And this is exactly what he has prepared us for. For 5,000 years, the Lord has spoken to man, spoken to the patriarchs and the prophets, spoken through, sent his only son in the likeness of simple flesh and spoken directly to man. Trained his disciples that became the apostles and they spoke to us. And he's given us both the letter and the spirit of his word, which speaks to us even today. But where is the spiritual unity? Why are there so many denominations proclaiming God and proclaiming his word, but yet not agreeing on anything?
Amen.
And this is what Jesus prepared the disciples for. And what he is trying to prepare his true worshipers for today. Matthew 10:16-23. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Amen.
But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before the governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what or how you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak.
Amen.
For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in the cities, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Matthew 7:15-23. Says, beware of those false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. For do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your names, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These people believe because they have spiritual gifts, or what appears to be spiritual gifts. They have the salvation of the Lord within them. But God warns us of the false prophets, the disciples of Satan, who take God's truth and twist it into lies, and who hide the truth of God's word from us. For it is written, the Lord says, I make the sun to shine on the just and the rain to fall on the unjust. We see in the scripture, in the stories of the scripture, that simply by Jesus or one of the apostles walking by a sick person and their shadow falling upon them, they receive the healing of God. And here in these verses, we see not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, even if they possess spiritual gifts. Because the spiritual gift is nothing unless it is accompanied by a faith of willing obedience and a born-again soul. And the will to follow God's will, practice his commandments, and walk as he walked. Matthew 5:43-45 testify to this. You have heard what it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
Amen.
God is spiritual, and he is seeking the spiritual believer, the one who worships in spirit and truth, in the Word of God, in the Holy Spirit of Jesus of Christ. John 6:63, Jesus tells us, it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And though we are born into the sinful flesh, does not mean we are destined to live in a sinful flesh. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as a heavenly man, so are also those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. But now I say this to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So let us take heed and prepare our faith and our salvation, putting on the armor of righteousness by the faith of an obedience of a born-again soul through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Remembering these words that God has spoken to us. John 14:6. Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. Acts 4:11-12. And this is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has provided us with everything that we need, both spiritually and physically. He has given us his word that we will never be alone from him and never be lacking his understanding. First, when he established the chief cornerstone of the covenant of Christ through Jeremiah, he spoke to his children at that time and said, lo, I make a new covenant with you, and this is the covenant I make. I write my laws on your hearts and I place them in your minds. And no one will turn to his brother or his neighbor and say, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. They shall be my people, I shall be their God, and I will remember their sins no more. The Spirit of God's Word, everything that is written in the scriptures of our Bible, has been written on our hearts and placed in our minds from the day that God created us. He has sent us prophets and teachers. He himself has come down in the likeness of sinful flesh and walked among us to fulfill the prophecy that we will be taught by God himself. Then, to make sure that nothing could go wrong, he sent his helper, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within our souls. For when we become born again, he will be there with us. Once we accept him, become those who he calls the true worshipers, that worship him in the spirit and the truth of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Become that born again. That person whom the scriptures tell us, those who are born again do not sin, and they cannot sin because the Holy Spirit is indwelled within us. So let us ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, if flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, and the flesh and blood is of this world and of this earth, is a material thing, then how can buildings of brick and mortar that are governed by the flesh and do not truly honor God's word, how can that be his house and his sanctuary?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Is God flesh?
Nope.
Or is he spirit?
Spirit.
Is his assembly, his unity of his children, they a physical house, a brick and mortar, or are they a spiritual house of the body of Christ? They can only become a physical house through the uniting of the spiritual body of Christ to come together in fellowship of his love for one another. And it's only through this fellowship, this unity, that we can endure unto the end. And God says we must endure. As we read, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Which means until the flesh is separated from the soul which is eternal and can inherit, cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, because corruption cannot inherit incorruption. So arise and wake up, my brothers and sisters. Set aside the things of this world which belong to Satan and Satan alone. Pick up your souls, your eternal bodies, and walk in the spiritual example of Christ, fulfilling God's will by taking care of each other.
Hallelujah.
As we are told, Ezekiel 18, behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father and the soul of the Son, and the soul that sins shall die.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 10:38-39. Now the just shall live by faith, but anyone who draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. For we are not those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul. Matthew 10:22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved.
Amen.
John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for he has, for him God the Father has sealed. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the church of God for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tired, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised him that loves him.
Hallelujah.
So let us test ourselves and test all the spirits. Matthew 7:13-23. But enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it.
Hallelujah.
Remember, brothers and sisters, Jesus took on the world and took on our sins. And he suffered in the flesh, even unto death on the cross, to pay the price for our sins.
Hallelujah.
And as it is written in the scriptures, it says, be of the same mind, for because Christ suffered in the flesh for us, we must suffer in the flesh for him.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we do not wake up, we do not set the natural things aside of the world and the flesh and pick up the soul and the spiritual things of God, we shall not endure. And even if we do have the soul and the spiritual things of God, There is a price that has to be paid. There will be suffering that has to be undergone, because Christ paid that price for us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God is calling his true worshipers together to unite and build his spiritual and physical body of Christ, his true
Amen.
House of prayer and sanctuary.
John 4:23.
And he's
yep.
asking us to build it not for just for his glory, but for our salvation, that we can endure to the end until we are separated from the flesh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
As our salvation, so is this blessing a choice that we have to make.
Hallelujah.
And by whatever choice we make, we will face the consequences of that choice.
Amen.
God is offering an additional blessing on top of his salvational promises and his salvational blessings, so that we do not have to suffer more than we can bear. And this is the escape that he is offering us, so we do not have to bear more than we can bear.
Hallelujah.
But
Hallelujah.
We have to act on it. We have to accept it, and we have to answer his call.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that was a powerful message. And honestly, this comes down to love.
Amen.
It comes down to love. And I have one verse here that's going to close out tonight. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and we rely on the love of God that he has for us. How do we rely on the love that God has for us? Are making good choices and decisions that honor him. Good decisions
Amen.
And choices that glorify him. That when we take certain job things, like right now, I'm being faced with a decision. Dennis will tell you, a rock in a hard place. Where I had seven companies come at me at once. And I got one of those companies keeps calling me every week trying to find out when I can start. They keep wanting me to start. Sisters and brothers, it comes down to a decision. Is money more important to you or the kingdom of God, the work of God?
Kingdom of God.
Because I got one right now that's being offering me $45,000 starting off and a chance to make $55,000 within 8 months. Salary. Don't have to miss a church service because the gentleman's a Christian.
Amen.
He already said, no, I wouldn't have you do that. I would just have you take a break during that time. Then I asked some questions that the Lord told me to ask him, because I know that we're getting ready to travel the country to do missions work, things that I've been talking to Dennis about for a while now. Dennis knows what I'm talking
Amen.
About. Lionel knows.
Amen.
And it's about gathering up the followers and the and actually not even followers, laborers. Laborers in the kingdom for the Lord. And it's about righting what a lot of churches have wronged. And I see how this job can fit into all those aspects, because I asked one question to the supervisor. In some companies, this would be a deal breaker, even asking them a question like this. But the gentleman goes, no, sir, you're here to interview me as well. Not many companies you're going to hear say that to you. And the gentleman turned around and I said to him, I said, sir, I have a wife and a child. I'd like to get to that point where I could take my son and my wife with me. when I'm gone weeks at a time so that I could be with my family. So they could be in a hotel room and swim in the pool and enjoy life. You know, my wife loves that kind of thing. And still be able to have family time, still be able to have ministry time, still not neglect the things of God or family time. And the gentleman turns to me and he says, "Sir, let's do this. I will accept that and say that whenever you're gone and the hotel room is only you in it, you're welcome to have your wife and son." He said, "Well, 80% of the time you're going to be by yourself anyway." So he said, "You can take her with you pretty much anytime you want."
Amen.
And he said, "Y'all could even drive down. And we would pay for your drive. And your hotel room would already be paid for, so your wife wouldn't even have to worry about that because it's already taken care of."
Amen.
And then on every Sunday, he said, "I would have off." So then Sundays would be the day that I could actually go and evangelize at different churches across the country. Evangelize in the streets. You know, this is about missions work. Dennis said something recently. "Nick, the job that God has for you, you need to make sure that it honors his kingdom."
Amen.
You need to make sure that it fits into the vision that God has for you to do for the kingdom. Because if it doesn't, then game over. Pretty much.
Amen.
I value great wisdom and great advice from a powerful man of God that the Lord has put in our lives.
Amen.
Many apostles and preachers think that they're so obsolete that no one else can come to them and talk to them about the gospel, and that they're always there to help somebody else. Well, let me tell you something. I need help too. I need leading and guiding along the way myself. Just because I'm an apostle don't mean I made and arrived. Just because Dennis is a bishop don't mean he made and arrived. And he'll tell you this himself. He's one of the most humble bishops I've ever known.
Amen.
That really love the Lord and preaches the word as it's written. But not
Amen.
Just preaches, not just preaches it as it's written like the Pharisees did, because the Pharisees preached the letters of the Bible. But they forgot the Holy Spirit. They forgot God's forgiveness. They forgot God's love. They forgot the part in the Bible where he sat and said to us to take the plank out your own eye before you sit there and try to take it out of somebody else's. They forgot that he said, "Don't be self-righteous. Don't be holier than thou, thinking you better or higher than you ought to." Scripture says better to let others esteem you more than yourself. I would have to say, I believe those that are on the line would concur with me. I've never once tried to esteem myself above anyone since I've been in this ministry. Since we've been running this. There's been times I've had self-righteous moments, not realizing I had it, with my own wife. And it took Bishop Dennis and the Lord through him both to show me. But come on, who hasn't had a moment like that? There's a lot of times we get irritated with false doctrine or false prophets and all that kind of stuff. But we get so caught
Amen.
Up on trying to stay all the way to the T of what's in the Bible. And we forget that, hey, staying to the T of what's in the Bible is important. But as well, realizing that people are in this human world are going to still screw up and make mistakes along the way. And just because someone says a cuss word don't mean you got to correct them every time they screw up.
Amen.
And this is something I'm learning even with my own wife, that the Lord has been teaching me through her. She didn't realize that God was teaching me through her. That a lot of I had to learn these things along the way. And I hadn't always been there. I haven't always been at this point. And I'm still at moments where God is fixing the crud and cleaning it all up. Let me tell y'all something. When you do these things as the Lord wants you to do, I just got blessed with a beautiful grill. A grill that pretty much all it needed was a cleaning. And I ain't talking about some little small web grill. I'm talking about the one with the little sides on it. A propane grill, y'all. Lord blessed me with it for free. I ain't paying nothing for it. And happened to find it online for free. We landed up getting blessed with it. Gonna do our first cookout on it tomorrow. We're holding a local worship, a local fellowship here in Milwaukee, and only gonna be a few of us, but sisters and brothers, like Dennis said, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're doing that when we make choices to join the building instead of joining the Lord. There's many that have joined the building and are devoted to the building. Thus, the obligations and the rules and the customs and all the things that come along that are mandatory according to the building of a man put in place, instead of it actually being unto the Lord in His kingdom.
Amen.
And God wants no more of that. Y'all pray as we get ready to start renewed and recovered ministries here soon. It's a ministry of God's House of Prayer. It's something that we're doing to reach the community right where they're at. We're also going to be reopening the anonymous prayer hotline where people can call any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's really never closed. It's just that we had to revamp some things. Y'all pray as we get a new website put together for the ministry. Because there's greater vision and greater focus on what the Lord has for us to do in ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Dennis, you said something a week ago. You said, Lord, make me moving you out of the job area of arena of what you've been so used to doing. Remember that, Dennis?
Yeah.
And I've never worked for a power and electric company or wireless tower company where you're going in and putting, you know, taking the old batteries out of their systems and putting new batteries in. You know, I ain't never done that. Now, this man goes, we're willing to train you.
Amen.
The man said, we landed up, Dennis, we landed up talking about Jesus the last quarter of the interview. We were talking about Jesus and the radio ministry. We have no idea why God puts us in certain places at certain times. It falls into what my wife was saying in her testimony. Because I tell you, she was fired up when she heard that she may not even have to work a full-time job anymore. She was excited to be able to be with her husband and her son.
Amen.
Dennis was saying, Nick, make sure that the job you get, that it isn't you having to move your life around that job. Make that job move around your life.
Amen.
And make that job honor the kingdom of God, with it not getting in the way of the work of the Lord. Right now we have evangelist time. That's why I say evangelist, because I speak it into existence. Because him and I have been talking, and he's been in his word, and he's been spending time with the Lord, and he's been on these radio broadcasts, and does his best not to miss it. He's become a loyal member of the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom. And he's going to be running Renewed and Recovered in Christ underneath the leadership of Dennis and myself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This brother is an awesome man of God, and the Lord's been doing some great things through him. Hallelujah. And I'm going to have him on again. Y'all heard him last Tuesday or Saturday. Y'all heard him talk on here. And it was just beautiful what he had to say. And y'all pray as Sister Paula goes into her surgery for her back. It's supposed to be the 14th of August. Tom and I will be going to pray for her locally. Y'all pray for her from the distance of where you're at. We're getting ready to as well to buy an RV, to buy the things that the Lord has been telling me and my wife about. And, you know, my wife's now excited. Now we realize why we are doing what the Lord has called us to do. And we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Amen.
Amen.
So y'all pray. We're also looking at possibly buying a property here in Wisconsin for Apostle Tom. Apostle Tom, whatever you want to call him, Evangelist Tom. I don't call him two things now. But where Tom is going to run the property, and it's going to be a property where people can come in and feel the love of Christ. It's going to be called Renewed. That is where Renewed and Recovered is actually going to be stationed here in Milwaukee. It will be also the Milwaukee office of God's House of Prayer and God's House of Prayer, the True Worshipper. So it'll be a place that my wife and I can come back and visit when we're in town. We'll have somewhere to stay.
Amen. Amen.
As the Lord is bringing these things forward, my wife has had it on her heart now for a while. Been talking to me about it. She's like, why don't we put money into the things that are going to be a blessing to the kingdom? And she goes, you could run the ministry out of there and be able to have that income of a person coming in that can rent it like a rooming house. And then you run Renewed and Recovered through Tom, you know, through the basement area of that house. And we've been looking at that, and I was like, you know what, my wife is a smart woman and had no idea how much that fit into the vision of what the Lord's been trying to do. Because some of those laborers right here in the Milwaukee area will actually land up flying down and coming to Texas and being a part of what Dennis has been trying to do there in Texas. Dennis, we got you back, brother.
Amen.
And we're excited to see where the Lord is taking some things. And y'all just keep it in prayer as my settlement come through soon. We found a few properties that are around about $32,000. We don't want to spend a lot. We're just looking to be a blessing to the kingdom where it's not going to become a hindrance upon what God wants to do for his work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Bishop.
Amen.
So, we're going to pray for that breathing, and then we're going to call it a night, everybody. Because my wife and I are getting ready to go and see some fireworks down at the lakefront here in Milwaukee. And have a late night ice cream, and then we're going to go bumming and look for some free items at people's curves where they leave stuff. My wife loves doing that.
Amen.
Another man's junk land up being another man's treasure.
Amen.
There was a guy that got evicted and moved out of his house, and that's where I got my grill from. And I'm talking about a web grill, y'all. A Weber grill. It's one of them big. It's one of them big grills where the top opens and it's got the whole long grate, and it's a propane. Plus, it's got the dials on the right side, and then on the left side, it's got the little area where you can put a plate of food or whatever it may need. So I got my little outdoor kitchen.
Amen.
So my wife knows I've been wanting one of those for a while, and all of a sudden the Lord said, well, I'm going to bless you with one. And all of a sudden I got blessed with one. All it needed was a cleaning. All it needed was a little bit of TLC, tender love and care.
Amen.
So anyway, Father God, we come home for your throne of grace and mercy, your riches and your love. Bless Erica that's on the other side with her father. Bless Apostle Bishop Dennis that came forth for the word tonight. Bless my wife. Bless those that have been on the radio broadcast periodically through the night, Father. Thank you that we had a good turnout and it was a blessing to your kingdom. And we thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. And we bless it and we thank you, Father, as we come back. We come back Tuesday evening. Apostle Lionel will be preaching, y'all. Hallelujah. We also have a testimony. We also have a testimony coming from a surprise guest, a friend of mine, that is going to be coming and sharing some things that the Lord has been showing her. And she's going to be talking about how she came out of false doctrine, how she came out of a false church. And it lines up directly with what Dennis and I have been talking about all along. And so I've been watching her on Facebook and reading her posts, and we finally got a chance to talk, and it was a powerful conversation on Facebook Messenger. And so y'all just continue to pray as the Lord brings forth different people with different testimonies from different walks of life from all over the world. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Father, we thank you for this night. Amen. Y'all have a good night.
All right, amen.